Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. James is over there. I'm Kyle. Joe is back in the building. Hello, Joe. Thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much, as always.
We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon today. Well, until a little bit after noon, because we're doing an extended handoff thing now, and it was a lot of fun yesterday, so we decided we're going to keep doing it. Guys, I have some devastating news just off the top.
Oh.
I was trying to get Aftershock on the calendar, on the home cal. I'm going to be in Hawaii.
Oh, there it is.
Thursday.
There it is.
I leave the Saturday before.
Oh, dude, that is devastating.
Just brutal.
That is brutal.
Absolutely brutal. And I didn't recognize this until after I'd read off the lineup, and my wife was like, yeah, like, let's pull up. Let's go. It's like, bet. And then she goes, when is it? And I go, October 6th. It was a really rough. It was a really rough night for your boy. Like my wife's family has a timeshare out there, so we've got like a window that we can go in, and I was not, because we can't wait until the football schedule comes out, because you got to schedule it ahead of that. So I'm just kind of like, just make sure we're not in the air on a Sunday and we're good. So here's the deal with the random week that they picked. Not only is it Aftershock that I'm now missing.
Okay.
And this is not a complaint. This is just like, I get to go to Hawaii. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah, you are really going to Hawaii.
I'm really excited. I'm not complaining. It's just, these are the things I have to now miss out on. Aftershock. And then, so while I'm in Hawaii, I usually try and hand off some work to my contributors at Niners Wire so I can kind of go enjoy my life. We leave Saturday. The 49ers play that Sunday. And then the 49ers play on October 2nd. That Thursday. So I have to cover two games while I'm there.
Oh, that's not good.
Just, like, come on.
Regular season?
Regular season games, yes.
Oh,
Sunday,
no.
Thursday.
That didn't work out.
Okay.
No, but right. But the priority when they were kind of going through it was like, all right, well, it's going to be football season no matter what. Let's try not to bleed too far into basketball season. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Okay, so wait, when are you going?
All right, we'll re-rack this segment since James wasn't listening. All right, so guys, I have some devastating news.
Well, I'm not going to be able to go to Aftershock. Exact dates?
it's September, I don't know, don't put me on the spot like this. September 27?
Oh, okay. I thought it was into October.
Well, yep. October 4 is when we come back. It's Saturday or Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah, tough timing. And I'm legitimately really bummed that we don't get to go to Aftershock together. I hope you guys still go. The Thursday lineup's insane.
Oh, we're going.
The Thursday lineup is just bananas.
We're going. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can still make it in time for Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. And
that's on Sunday.
Yeah. You like Flyleaf?
Supporting Marilyn Manson sounds like a thing I never, ever want to do ever in my life.
That's fine. You don't have
just
to.
Just a terrible person.
That's okay.
Just a god-awful person.
Okay. All right. Well, they have Flyleaf on Sunday. You Flyleaf guy. Okay. All right.
What is a fly leaf?
What's a fly leaf? It's a leafy bug. That
sounds like something I would hear from Sir David Attenborough.
It's actually a Christian rock band, I believe.
Oh,
the Christian rock band and Marilyn Manson performing together is really something. It's really, really something that's going on at Aftershock. What a festival. Down at Discovery Park, get your tickets now. I was the lineup's incredible. There's some really, in a festival lineup, a music festival lineup, the big artists have big letters, big names. Like Blink-182 is the biggest font at the top. And then the the artists, as they get to become like lesser known artists, the type gets smaller, where like random people you've never heard of are like in the tiny type. The small type is like Hoobastank. Oh, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all-time low. Like, oh my God.
All-American Rejects are going to be there.
Little type. All-American Rejects. Incredible. Little type.
Yeah,
because
it's,
the lineup is just so insane. That
a
day.
Lot of really small type.
Yeah.
Like, you need a magnifying glass, or you need to like snap a picture of it and then expand it on your phone. Yeah, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, man. It's going to be great. I hope you guys have a great time. I'll be drinking a Mai Tai.
We should all take the week off and just...
Red jumpsuit apparatus is...
Red jumpsuit apparatus.
It's so small, like, type, you can't even read it.
Like James said, you got to like zoom all the way in on your phone to find out who that is.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Shout out to whoever booked Aftershock. Holy smokes. All right. Anyways, I got a bunch of stuff to get to today. The 49ers and Raiders veterans report for training camp. The Raiders begin practice tomorrow. The 49ers begin their practices on Thursday. I need a vibe check. I need a vibe check on the Las Vegas Raiders right now. How are you feeling about the Raiders as veterans report to camp?
I feel kind of good about that. Like, good as in 500, well, slightly above 500, right below 500, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that they can be a reasonably competent team in year one. I think that they have good pieces. They just don't have enough of them yet.
This is the first time I have felt good. Like, the vibes are good right now for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll's already got them going in OTAs. You already hear players at, you already hear players talking about how they're having the most fun they've ever had playing football. And I think that's going to bleed over to OTAs, where Pete Carroll is all about compete, compete, compete. And it's the first time I've ever gone into a year. Not the first time ever. It's the first time in a decade where I'm going into a year like, oh, okay, the Raiders are kind of going the right direction. I think Pete Carroll and to a different extent, John Spychek, their GM, I think lower the floor so much higher than it's been at any point since Derek Carr broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting. I feel like the vibes are good. They have an adult at quarterback now with Geno Smith. They have one of the best edge rushers in the sport with Max Crosby. That's a really, really nice foundation to, like you said, maybe they eclipse expectations and maybe they're awesome and they win 11 games and everybody's like, wow, Pete Carroll, coach of the year, et cetera, et cetera. He still got it. But I don't think that needs to be the expectation. The fact that we're sitting here going, yeah, kind of like what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not just wish casting that Aiden O'Connell is good. Like, no, you know you have a good quarterback. You know you have Geno Smith. Awesome. You know you got Brock Bowers. He's already one of the two or three best tight ends in the sport. That's great.
Yeah, totally agree.
Ashton Jeanty looks like a potential superstar at running back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really nice foundation there with adults in the room.
Yeah, where are you at with Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator?
Fine with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm fine. Chip Kelly, the OC, I'm cool with.
You just don't want to see him have anything more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm out on Chip Kelly, the head coach, but I think that there is a legitimate chance that Chip Kelly winds up being a head coaching candidate again over the next couple of years if he does a nice job at the Raiders, which I think he will.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a good move for Pete Carroll. The question I have with the Raiders, and this is separate from the vibe check. I think my thing with the Raiders is, will Pete Carroll adapt a little bit, or is he going to continue the coaching style that kind of wore a little bit thin in Seattle? I shouldn't say wore thin. I should say became outdated in Seattle, where it was like, man, you're trying to run this football team like it's 2004, and it's just, that's not how you're going to win a ton of games now, where it's just like defense, run the ball. Like, yeah, those are important things to be sure, but at the same time, you got to open things up and like throw it if you're going to keep up in the modern NFL.
Yeah, that, and I really do feel like, you know, his last 3 years there in Seattle were not good.
There's a weird team.
7-10, 9-8, 9-8, and like, that's the one other thing is, like, when you open a window with a coach like Pete Carroll,
mm-hmm.
You know, again, he's going to be 74 in September.
Sure.
Like, when you open that window, like, you've got to like put the assets into it. Like you've mm-hmm. got to try to be good now, mm-hmm. because I don't know how long, you know, he plans on coaching. It's a really, really difficult job. And, you know, like we'll see if they have someone who's ready to take it over 2-3 years down the road. But you've opened a window, so let's see what they've got, you know.
The Seahawks, you mentioned the weird last couple of years. The Seahawks, Pete Carroll was their coach for 14 seasons. They won fewer than 7 games 0 times.
Yeah.
They finished with 7 wins 3 times in 14 seasons.
He's literally the ultimate adult in the room. Yeah.
Really, he's a very, very high-quality football coach. Should probably go to the Hall of Fame. And he was the catalyst for turning that Seahawks team around. That Seahawks team that, in 2010, Carroll's first year, that was the year they went 7-9 and went to the playoffs mm-hmm. and won a playoff game. They missed the playoffs the next year at 7-9 again. That was the year the Niners were really good. And then in 2012, they win a playoff game, losing the divisional round. 2013, they win the Super Bowl. 2014, they lose the Super Bowl. They lose in the divisional round the next 2 years with winning a playoff game in each year. Then they missed the playoffs. Went 9-7, missed the playoffs.
Yep.
Lost in the wild card round, lost the divisional round where they won a playoff game, then lost in the wild card round again. Then they go 7-10 in 2021, then go back to the playoffs at 9-8 in 2022. Pete Carroll can coach his ass off.
No, I agree.
And that's where with the Raiders, you're right. Talent wise, like you stack up their roster and you're going, oof. They've got some high end talent to be sure. And I think their roster is better today than it was this time last year. But when you start looking at contending, especially, and we'll talk about the rest of the AFC West a little bit later, but when you start stacking them up against the rest of their division, their division's sick.
Yeah, it is.
Their division has three teams that I legitimately think could be the number one seed in the AFC this year.
Yeah, they're going to be tough.
So that's going to be that just alone is going to be brutal. But this is as good as I've felt about the Raiders in a long, long time. So the vibes are good. What about with the 49ers?
I think the vibes are up. I don't know.
Like, you said that with a question mark ending.
I did. Look, I think that there's a little bit of I don't know. I would say angst because you just don't know what the young players are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you have seen a lot of talent leave the building. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine, you know, guys like Fred Warner looking next to him and thinking he'd really love to have Dre Greenlaw back.
Sure.
Of course, Dre Greenlaw got injured and everything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're looking at the wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bare. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Ayuk that's on the IR and you've got, you know,
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, Pearsall's hurt and mm-hmm. and Debo's gone. So, I mean, it's
Juwan Jennings not happy.
Yeah, that's a little weird, but the rest of the team, I don't know. It seems like everybody else, if you look around the rest of the group, you should be excited about some of the young talent. You should be excited about some of the young defensive linemen. I don't know.
I think there's understandable trepidation where you're right. If everything works out, and Michael Williams, their first-round pick, is good, and if Alfred Collins, their second-round pick, can play, or C.J. Mm-hmm. West, their fourth-round pick, can play, those are two defensive tackles that they drafted. If they can play, then they're in a pretty good spot. You know, Robert Saleh's back. They got all their extensions done. But this Juwan Jennings thing is sticking out to me a little bit.
Yeah, kind of a weird late thing.
Yeah, and it just... All right, so let's go to this world real quick. Because the whole thing this offseason, and we talked about this a lot on the show, is you have to get this extension done for Brock Purdy just to avoid having it be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just get it out of the way. And then they got Fred Warner's done. They got George Kittle's done. They got Brock Purdy's done. Like, all set. Good to go. Like, everything they needed to do was done. They're going to go into camp. Okay, yeah, they got some question marks, but this is the year where you're not trying to... Well, you want to win a Super Bowl, of course, but the expectation is not necessarily Super Bowl. The expectation is, can you win 10 or 11 games? Can you make the playoffs with a relatively easy schedule, or what looks to be an easy schedule? Uh-huh. Like, that's kind of where the expectation is. And you've got everybody showing up for OTAs. It looks like everybody's going to show up for camp. The problem for me is, let's go to the world where Juwan Jennings decides he's going to show up for camp, but he's not going to practice. He's going to hold in.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Pearsall on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. Brandon Ayuk's right there with him. Juwan Jennings holding in. Your first team wide receivers on day one of training camp are like DeMarcus Robinson, who's a 30-year-old third, fourth wide receiver.
Is he still facing potential suspension?
Yes. Okay. Still facing potential suspension. Then like Jacob Cowing, a fourth-round pick who couldn't get on the field last year.
Yeah.
Might be a rookie fourth-round pick, Jordan Watkins. Maybe you're going with a veteran like Russell Gage, who's just on the roster, it turns out.
I did not know that Russell Gage was on
Russell
the roster.
Russell Gage, yeah. He went, signed with the Niners practice squad at the end of last year, I think.
He had quite a few touchdowns for Atlanta, right?
Yeah, he was with Atlanta, and then he signed with the Bucks for a year, and then Tom Brady demanded they extend him, so they extended him for 3 years and whatever amount of money.
Okay.
And then he hurt his neck, and then he came back, and he tore up his knee.
He hasn't played since Ravens. 2022.
Yeah, he was at the Ravens for a minute.
Huh.
And then now he's with San Francisco.
Interesting.
So that's where the Niners are, man. I think I'm going to go vibes down for now, because I have so many questions about, do they have another starting caliber linebacker to put next to Fred Warner? Can any of their new defensive linemen play?
Yeah.
Who's going to play the third cornerback spot?
Well, they did get the one defensive lineman from the, was it the Eagles? yeah.
Josh Huff?
Huff,
oh my God.
For sure.
Bryce Huff. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
I don't know why Josh Huff was the name that came to mind. Bryce Huff. Yeah. No, but he's going to be like pass rush specialist.
Yeah.
So there are so many questions and there are so many ways that this can go sideways that I'm having a really hard time being like, yeah, hey, I feel great about him. Especially because like with the Raiders, you can feel good because we're talking about, hey, can you get to 8-9 wins and just be competitive?
Yeah.
With the Niners, it feels like a tipping point.
Well, expectations are always going to be higher for the Niners.
For now, so, for sure. Yeah. And we'll talk more about this season kind of being a tipping point for San Francisco as we roll along here. We got King stuff to get into. We have more NFL stuff to get into. The Kings preseason schedule is out. We're going to run through their depth chart and their roster. What does that look like? And I am so tired of talking about Keegan Murray. We'll get to all of it. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, that's us and Joe Brazil. We're hanging out with you until noon. I saw a funny thing on the way to work today. So when I drive up, I live in the Far East Bay, so I take 160, I drive up the river. It's I drive on the road alongside the river. I don't drive up the river.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, I was worried. That would be
insane. He's got a paddle car.
Yeah, I'm just
it converts.
Like, why do you think I'm so Jeeps, sweaty when I get here every day?
The amphibious Jeeps.
He hits button and all of a sudden the wheels turn regular and then he can drive on the road.
Yeah, dude. I got a little duck boat. It's awesome. Doesn't fit in my garage, but that's fine. Awesome. No, so I drive up the river and then I take 5. Now, this happens every single day because the move when you drive far distances, you always punch in. I could drive here with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. Driven it so many times. But you always punch it into the GPS to watch for traffic. If there's an accident, it's going to take you a different way.
Thank you.
Like, that's the move. Every time.
I try to explain that to people, and they think I'm crazy.
Nah, every time. The first thing I do when I get in the car, throw it on the GPS, make sure I don't have to go a crazy way to work.
Okay.
So because the issue is if I get stuck, because this is a two-lane road, and if I get stuck on 160 at any point, I will either A, not be able to turn around, or B, if I do turn around, I now have to go all the way back and around, like through the Bay Area and up to 80, and traffic by that time is going to be hellacious, and then I run the risk of not getting here on time. It's a whole deal. So it's very, very important to me to check the GPS. And so I have a little routine every morning. I get on 5 and it's telling me to take 50 west. You know, you go up 5 and you go on 50, or you can take 80 to San Francisco, or you can go keep going on 5 towards Redding. And every morning my GPS goes, you can save 10 minutes by taking 80 instead of going on 50. Like, yeah, obviously I'm going to do that, because why would anybody drive on 50 on purpose? So, I always go up through 5 through downtown, and there's a big billboard there right next to Golden One Center. And the billboard today, as I drove up through downtown, just said, join the Kings, with a like kings.com/membership link underneath it.
They're hiring.
And I was having a great time thinking about what this could mean, because it's a season ticket advertisement. But I love the idea that the Kings are just like, hey, open applications if you would like to.
We join need a us. Wing like really bad.
We need a backup three.
It's, yeah. They got it. They got a sign outside AccuShare. They're like, join the Kings. Please.
They saw everybody at AccuShare being 6'5" and taller and went, hey, we need to get in there.
We need to find a way, a pipeline to that business.
Join the Kings. We just get in the front office now? Are they just job openings?
Maybe.
Fill the Jeremy Lamb spot?
Oh, no. Kyle.
I think I could do that. I can be an advisor.
I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, let's move. Okay.
Yeah, let's move on there. I could be an advisor. I would love to be an advisor.
You two get your heads out of the gutter. All right? Grow up.
Kyle, I don't think you can fill the Jeremy Lamb spot there. Your wife would not be happy
about
that.
Okay,
well,
now you're saying it out loud. Jesus Christ. All right. Anyways, I was having a great time with that today, and I love that that's how the Kings are advertising their season tickets. Join the Kings.
Okay. Right,
you got it. I'll be on the team.
I mean, the year.
Is that a 10-day?
They did the Here We Rise, and they there's the, yeah, there's a school. I think it's now the school building. Like right next to the ziggurat, there's a gigantic, tall, like skyscraper there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many stories it is, but like the whole outside of the glass windows, they put like giant DeMarcus Cousins and Tyreek Evans and Here We Rise.
Right.
And that's where Here We Build, Here We Stay. Well, it started with Here We Stay.
Right.
It was all built off of their own marketing campaign for that season, which was Here We Rise. Here We Rise. And try to move the team to Anaheim.
Gross.
Yeah.
God, the optimism during the DeMarcus Cousins, Tyreek Evans early years was just at an all-time high.
Yeah, but they killed the optimism so quickly by trying to relocate the team.
Yeah.
That was my first season covering the team, 2010-11.
I'll never forget, the first Kings game I ever went to was Kings Clippers during Tyreek Evans' rookie year.
Mm.
And watching Tyreek Evans turn an NBA game into a layup line was just one of the most unbelievable things I've ever watched. Like, just down the stretch of the game, Tyreek gets it, blows past the first guy, and gets into the lane. Help is late, or he just goes through the contact. Easy work. He was ridiculous.
He was a beast. Man. Yeah, it's the Cal Sturz building. Thank you, people in the chat.
That's it.
The Cal Sturz building.
I actually remember a lot about Arco. So
yeah?
Yeah. I saw a couple games there. My first concert ever. All of it. So
wait, so hang on. Let's do some math. Was Golden One's first year, 2015?
That sounds
Golden One,
right.
Yeah, 2015.
2015 season?
Ooh, it might be 2016.
So we're talking like 10 years ago. Oh, so you were like a kid at Arco.
Oh, yeah.
Or at Arco.
Yeah, I was young.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I went to Arco 1 for a game.
Like, my dad took me. Like, I didn't have a car, obviously.
You went to where?
Arco 1. So there's the first Arco that they popped up really quick, which is now, it's right down the street from where Arco 2 used to be, and Arco 1 is now the Department of Consumer Affairs.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah,
so it was like an 11,000-seat building that basically they did concrete on the ground and then stood the walls up.
They built an office building.
They did.
But threw a basketball court in the middle in the meantime.
Exactly. And it was super tiny.
That's amazing.
And then they did that so they could get Arco 2 right down the street ready. So
I see.
1985, Arco 1 opened. And then in 1988, Arco 2 opened right down the street. But when they built Arco 2, it fell into the same category as like the Target Center and where the Bucks played. Mm-hmm. They were all built like at the same exact time, and they were sort of cookie cutter small arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was happening, the Pistons decided to build the Palace at Auburn Hills. And so they opened their stadium the same time that these other three or four teams opened theirs,
mm-hmm.
except for they had like three times more luxury boxes and like literally a palace because they were a team that was, you know, again, they won the championship in 89 and 90. The Pistons, I believe, the Bad Boys. And so right around that time, so they opened their stadium and basically had this gigantic stadium compared to everybody else. And the Kings and the Timberwolves and everybody else's stadium were instantly, the Bradley Center, I think, in Milwaukee, they were instantly obsolete. Like the day that they opened. And there was no way to retrofit them to add that second deck of luxury seats.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, 89-90 was the second of back-to-back championships by the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, 89-90, okay.
Salute. Good knowledge by you. Doug McDermott, speaking of joining us.
Yeah, we got sidetracked.
Joe, we're talking about Doug McDermott.
Did we lose Joe?
Joe's out of here. Joe's getting questions answered for us. Joe's doing the heck out of his job. So Doug McDermott, he signed yesterday. News of that signing dropped yesterday late in the program. So I don't necessarily, like, I want to talk about the Doug McDermott acquisition, but more from what that domino means for the rest of the Kings offseason, because I don't need to talk about Doug McDermott's fit in the rotation or anything. I just don't. He's just a guy.
Yeah, he is just a guy who can shoot a three, and that's it.
That's what we got. So what Doug McDermott did last year is probably right about what Doug McDermott's going to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this put the Kings financially? Because I know they didn't have a ton of room to work with. He's going to come in at the vet minimum at 2 point whatever it is.
Yeah, he's going to make 3.6, but he's going to count like 2 point. Either 2.2 or 2.5 towards the cap. I think it's gone up a little bit from last year.
Okay.
But that's going to be the dollar amount that he counts against the cap is a lower dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to make 3.6. To be honest with you, this is it. It's kind of it for the mm-hmm. Kings right now. They have ways of clearing up space here and there. They can decide not to to waive Terrence Davis
mm-hmm.
and open up a roster spot. They can do something. We've talked about this in the past, like Dario Saric makes $5.5 million. You could waive him and stretch provision him and save $3 million there.
Mm-hmm.
But when they calculate for the luxury tax, whether you're above or below the tax, they count in any potential bonus money. And Domantas Sabonis has like 2.6 or 2.7 million in potential bonus money. And DeMar DeRozan has $1 million. So that adds almost $4 million to the Kings luxury tax, like where Ooh. They're at. And that puts them at the cap. They're going to be within, I don't know, maybe a million, maybe a couple of hundred thousand, but it's tight as of right now. So, like, Doug McDermott is pretty much your last true acquisition. They still have a two-way contract. They'll still be able to sign some guys for training camp and stuff like that. But I would not expect at this point, if they're going to sign someone else, it would put them in the luxury tax.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, they are not going to do. Now, you have until the end of the season to figure that out.
Yeah.
The luxury tax bill doesn't come due until the end of the season. Mm-hmm. That's when they count everything up. But I still... This kind of puts a new wrinkle on their offseason, and I don't want to say it ends all of their chase of like Jonathan Kuminga, but it certainly makes it even more difficult.
Great. That's what we need.
Yeah.
More layers of difficulty.
Well, I mean, but this might signal something. It might signal that, hey, like, look, it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah,
that we're just going a different way and we're going to fill out our roster. The one thing I will say is it's July 22nd, right? And a year ago, the Kings signed Doug McDermott. But when they signed Doug McDermott, it was really late. I think they signed him the day before the season started.
Doug McDermott?
Yeah.
Didn't he sign like mid-season?
No. No, no.
Oh.
He was the first guy to sign. Markelle Fultz signed mid-season.
Oh.
McDermott signed like right before the season started, and they hadn't even had him in.
Oh, yeah.
They had like an injury to deal with, and then Doug McDermott played in like one of the first games.
Was it the last preseason game? And he played like 27 minutes?
Yes.
And he hadn't played yet? And they were like, here, go shoot a bunch of times.
Yeah, so it's like the week before the season started.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so.
Jay Crowder was mid-year.
Jay Crowder was like 3 weeks later or a month later.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for me, again, it's one of those things where this is a player who was not, you know, he signed on October 16th. So the season started like the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of strange that they signed him this early because I don't think, you know, Doug McDermott was, you know, had a bunch of teams lining up to take him, to take on his contract. And, you know, it does kind of limit what you can do the rest of the offseason. But at the same time, like, look, he's a very, very good dude, a very good locker room person, really bright, like a good guy to have around the team, a hard worker and all that stuff. And he has the one skill that every team needs as many as they can, and that's shooting. You know, the dude shot 42%, 43.6 last year from three, and he's a career, like, 41% shooter from three, which is nuts. So... it's just kind of uninspiring. It kind of feels like that's what this off season has been. It's very similar to a run it back, off season.
Yikes.
Trey Lyles has got to be looking around like, hey, what about me?
The hell?
What did I do wrong?
Man. It's, I don't know. I don't want to say it's disappointing. But it makes sense that the offseason went how it went. But we spent so much time after the season ended talking about all these big moves they're going to make and all these big moves they're going to try and, oh, they're in the Kuminga thing and, oh, is it Trae Young? Is that deal on the table? Oh, there's this Malik Monk deal on the table and is it Emmanuel Quickley? Are they going to get RJ Barrett? And there's all these names we're throwing around. And then it gets to the scenario that you're talking about where it's like, yeah, ostensibly running it back will bring in a couple of rookies and we'll wind it up.
Well, now, it is possible. Right. It is possible that they have something else up their sleeve.
I'm going to doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and doubt that.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, like, there, it is possible that the reason why they brought in McDermott is because they have some other move where they're going to lose a player from a position that he might fit into. But... there, we'll get to the depth chart in here just a minute. There really isn't much depth at the position that Doug McDermott plays.
That's kind of the issue I'm running into is, all right, so who are you losing that Doug McDermott's going to replace?
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is going to go in the same bucket that you talked about the other day, that if, you know, Drew Eubanks is going to stand in the way of Reynal getting minutes at the center position, you're not happy about that. If Dario Saric is going to steal minutes,
oh my God,
from Isaac Jones, you're not happy about that. If Doug McDermott steals minutes from Neek Clifford,
brother, the strongly worded letter I would write if I see one second of a Dario Saric, Drew Eubanks, Doug McDermott lineup.
Oh no.
I know that's not what you're saying. I'm being dramatic.
No, but you can see it. You're like,
I don't.
That's like when you'd get like the quadruple Jones, you know, the triple Jones.
Yeah, that's when you just knew the game was over.
Oh, man, that's scary.
Sarich, Eubanks, and McDermott in the front court. Good Lord.
Oh, that could happen.
No, it's not. The only way that happens, happen. No, Doug will not allow it. I don't. Doug Christie would not allow it.
I think Doug McDermott would also say, I disagree with what's happening.
I'm not going out there. With Drew and Dario? Oh. Nah, I'm not. No.
Okay.
No, it's fine. I'm not going to. Nope. We're not going to go down that road.
Okay.
We have like a minute and 20 seconds until we got to pay bills, so I'm not going to go down that road. Kings preseason schedule came out yesterday.
Yep.
October 8th, preseason opener. They host the Raptors at Golden 1 Center. October 10th, a couple days later, they will fly up to Portland to visit the Blazers. October 15th, they don't play until 5 days later, they will host the Los Angeles Clippers. And then on October 17th, they will visit the Los Angeles Lakers to wrap up their four-game preseason schedule.
Yeah, I think we've got three games on Kings.com and only one game on NBC Sports California, which is the Clippers game.
Sweet.
So I know Kings fans always get pissed about that no one wants to pay for preseason games. But there it is. It happened again. I'm a little...
Do any of you sickos do that?
Oh, people complain all the time.
No, I mean pay for it?
No, I meant NBC paying for it.
Oh, got it. So the Kings stream is free.
Yeah, the Kings.com stream is free, but...
Got it.
But they've struggled with getting NBC to pay...
Right.
Because it's expensive. I mean, they charge regular season game price for a preseason game, and nobody wants to watch them.
That makes sense. I thought you were saying the Kings charged for the stream online.
No.
That's insane. Do they geo-block it?
Yeah, it's geo-blocked. For sure.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yikes, man. I want to watch some preseason basketball. Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, but a lot of these games, if it's in if the Lakers game, you'll be able to find a stream of the Lakers game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might really even be able to find a stream of the Raptors or the Blazers. But, I'm surprised it's four games. Because you can go five.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can even go six if you wanted, but four is fine.
And no games against the team that's 80 miles down the road.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
Very strange. Very odd. All right. We're mixing in a ton of football today. The 49ers and Raiders veterans both report for camp. Raiders begin training camp practice mañana. The 49ers begin their training camp practices on Thursday. So some camps I think started. If you play in the... the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, yeah.
Your camp has started already, but camp begins in earnest this week, and we have some preseason power rankings from The Athletic. We'll see where the 49ers stack up. We'll see where the Raiders stack up. And the preseason power rankings show why it's really hard to feel super optimistic about the Raiders this year, and we'll talk about that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
The Cowboys are signing, this is according to Jordan Schultz, who doesn't have a workplace anymore, I guess. The Cowboys are signing former Lions pass rusher James Houston, who had 8 sacks as a rookie in 2022. Cool. Hey, remember 3 years ago when this guy was good? Everybody buckle up. That's annoying.
I can't wait to hear Kenny do Jerry Jones stuff today, because he's going to...
Oh, my God.
He's going to have to do a whole bunch of Jerry Jones stuff.
Why would you... I don't... Jerry Jones is an insane person.
He is.
Kevin Clark, a friend of the program, Kevin Clark, said on First Take today, and I think he nailed it, said that if the way to summarize Jerry Jones is that if the football gods came down and said, Jerry, you could win the next three Super Bowls, but the catch is you cannot do a single press conference, that he would say no deal. And I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I'm so interested to see what happens to the Cowboys post Jerry Jones. Like, is Stephen Jones just also an insane person? Or...
I mean, it's possible, because look at Mark Davis.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
At least he's trying to stay... Like, Mark Davis makes bad hires. Mark Davis isn't in the way. Jerry Jones is in the way. He is actively harming the team that he owns.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Mark Davis has made some bad decisions, but I would way rather have a guy who stays off in the distance, makes some bad decisions, like, all right, you'll land on a good decision at some point, versus Jerry Jones, who's just out here being loud.
Broken clock is right twice a day, Kyle.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I'll never forget the 49ers after the, was it the 2018 season? I guess after the 2018 season, they'd had a ton of injuries. And their logic on going into the next season and not really changing anything was, well, we're just kind of due to be healthy.
Oh,
maybe that was 2017 going into 2018. But yeah, early in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch tenure, their answer to their injury problems was bad luck. We're due for the upswing. And then they just kept having injuries. And then they completely overhauled the way they were doing their strength and conditioning. And
well, I mean, I think that's the one thing about the Kings that you can point to is that number one, their strength and conditioning group has been really good. And for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of years where it was a little confusing and a little weird. But, you know, going from the Pete Youngman era to Joe, who runs it now, Joe Nolan, like, they've done a great job of keeping their players healthy, but also of going out and finding healthy players. You know, that's something that I think a lot of teams just don't value, and the Kings do. Like, there are players all over the league that get hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you collect those players, there's a good chance they're going to miss time, because that's just who they are.
Yeah.
And the Kings just have done a good job over the last, you know, especially the last like 5 years of finding players that are typically healthy and then doing a really good job of keeping them in good shape throughout the season and maintaining, and the players doing a good job of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I this is separate from what we're going to talk about, but I do think the NBA shift to a like young person's league is really, really interesting to watch. And I think that combined with the aprons is just going to continue shifting the way teams are built. And I think that we're going to watch Golden State this year behind Steph Curry, who turns 38 in March, and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, who turns 37 this year. Mm. I think Draymond turns 37 this year, 36 or 37.
That's crazy.
I think when whatever happens with that team this year, whether they flame out in the regular season or early in the playoffs, I think it's just going to kind of drive home, yo, you are not going to be able to win in the NBA without youth on your roster. I think that's going to, like, that's part of the thing with the Clippers this year. You go, wow, that's a huge collection of talent, but it's like, man, Kawhi's old, James Harden's old, Chris Paul is old.
When we get
Brooke
to
Lopez,
it,
is old.
They
Nick
might
Batum
have
is old.
They might have the oldest average age of any team in the NBA ever.
Ooh,
I'm gonna guess that
the Clippers.
Yeah, the Clippers. That the accumulation of 34, 35 year olds plus is probably the largest collection. Because even Bogey is like 33 or 34.
Yeah,
Draymond will be 36 in March. But yeah,
oh, okay, he turned 35 this year. Got it.
Yeah, Bogdan. Yeah, he'll be 33 in August. Jeez. Before the season starts. So like, he's one of the younger players on the roster. Him and Zubats, you know, Derek Jones Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are probably the only two rotational players they have that are, well, actually, what is Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal. He's going to be 32, 31?
He's 32.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, this is a very, very veteran team.
I am, yeah, man. I think what the Kings have done in that regard is commendable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure this out on the fly. All right. Reset. James, that he's there. That's Joe over there. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We started talking about the NFL power rankings and somehow got into NBA team building. I'm not even exactly sure how we got there. But The Athletic put out preseason power rankings for the NFL. Where do we think the 49ers landed? Where's my music?
Oh.
I had fun music to play.
This is not going well.
Thank you, Joe. Goodness me. Thank you, Joe. Where do we think the 49ers landed? On the Athletics preseason.
I would have put in middle of the pack, but
let me tell you where they ranked to end last year.
Okay.
22nd.
22nd. Okay, that's
where they finished last year.
I would have put them around, yeah, between 18 and 22 again this year.
Okay. That's where they're starting for you?
Yep.
But I'm at 15.
Oof.
And I think the 49ers are right there with Tampa Bay at 16, Dallas at 17. The Seahawks are 18, and then who's 14? Denver's 14. And I think I'm going to cut off Denver. I'm going to put the Niners at the top of that tier of teams that you could tell me they won their division and made a deep playoff run, or you could tell me that they went 9-8, and I would just believe you.
Okay.
I think the range of outcomes for all those teams. And then right behind Seattle at number 19 are the Las Vegas Raiders.
Hmm.
Who I think are at the top of that tier with Miami is there, Chicago's there, Arizona's there. Arizona at 22 is kind of crazy. But, man, that's a high ranking for the Raiders. Good for them.
Yeah, they believe in them. The Athletic believes in the Raiders. Yeah.
But I think what the difference is here is I think Miami, who's at 20, is a high ceiling, low floor team.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that. Chicago, I think the same deal.
Yes. Their floor is a little lower, I would say, than Miami. I think Miami has a chance to be, like, they should win 8 games no matter what. But I'm not sure I feel that way.
Yeah.
About the Bears. The Bears, like, you're hoping that the Bears, like, finally figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never convinced.
Yeah, he's, the Bears are interesting. They just hired Ben Johnson as their head coach. He was the offensive coordinator in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is a team that, if you told me they were one of the non-playoff teams that made the playoffs this year, I would believe you. If you told me they went 5-12, I think I'd believe you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that their floor is still pretty low.
Yeah.
And that's just because they have a young quarterback and you're hoping that Caleb Williams steps up and figures it all out. But, you know, it's a young team.
Arizona at 22 is... Maybe I'm just off. I feel kind of good about the Cardinals this year.
Hmm.
You got Kyler Murray. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. going into year two. Trey McBride is awesome at tight end. James Conner's awesome at running back. I think Jonathan Gannon has their defense kind of going the right direction now.
And they're one of those teams that did what the Rams did, where they took a step back and started a bunch of young guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting year two, year three of that young group. Yeah, they could be way better.
Yeah, 22. That's kind of weird.
But again, they're in a division that's kind of weird. You know, we don't know what the Rams are going to be. We don't know what the Niners are going to be. You don't know what Seattle's going to be.
I think the Rams are going to be pretty good.
Okay.
I feel good about the Rams. The Rams are, where are they, 11?
Okay.
I think in these rankings. Yeah, the Rams are 9. Seahawks 18, Cardinals 22, Niners 15.
Okay.
But I do think the variance is there where... any of those four teams could win it. I don't feel that same way about the AFC West, where the Chiefs are 4.
Yep.
The Chargers are 11 and the Broncos are 14. The Broncos, if Bo Nix takes a leap, I think they have a chance to have the best defense in the sport. And that might just carry them And if Bo Nix makes a leap, then I think the Broncos could be super dangerous.
Well, that, and I'm kind of intrigued by Harbaugh in year two with the Chargers.
Sure.
I mean, that can be a really, really good team too. They, mm-hmm. you know, they did a lot of purging last season mm-hmm. of all their specialty players, and I'm kind of intrigued to see who steps up and who can be part of what's happening.
And Omarion Hampton, their rookie running back from UNC, is a gangster. Really good player.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs, of course, are still top five. They're sitting at number four. But, man, tough division for the Raiders because everybody's really, really good, and it feels like the 49ers are in a tough division because everybody's a question mark.
Everybody's mediocre.
You could tell me any order of NFC West finishes, and I would just believe you.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Like, oh, Cardinals won the division, Niners were last? Yeah, why not? Niners won the division, Rams were last? Sure, why not?
I'm with you.
I don't foresee a scenario where the Raiders are winning the AFC West.
Yeah, there's almost no way to win the AFC West.
Just so many good
teams. I mean, you get the Chiefs. I mean,
so many good teams.
That's still a team that's going to probably push for a Super Bowl.
They're competing for Super Bowls. Like, they haven't even been that good.
No.
And they're just still winning titles. Like, all right, man, whatever. Whatever, man. All right. We'll keep talking NFL kind of as we roll along here. We'll talk 49ers players to watch, Raiders players to watch as we go into training camp. But we got to get into the Kings depth chart a little bit. We were going to do this yesterday, and we kicked the can down the road a little bit on it. And I want to try and get our arms around, now that the roster appears to be set, I want to get our arms around who's starting, what do the reserves look like, what do we think the rotation is going to look like. We'll do all of that now that the offseason is kind of settling down a little bit for the Kings. Here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, it's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.